Over the past 3 years, we've been spending a lot of time in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. There Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Over the past 3 years, we've been taking a look at this kind of as a journey, a process of understanding, as we talked a few years ago and continue to talk about the grace of God which saves us. And last year we took a long, hard look at the faith that we have that gives us access to the grace of God which saves us. And of course we'll continue to look at that faith. This year our main focus is on being God's workmanship, created for good works, that we should walk in them. And I hope that we've been learning all kinds of things about what it means to be the workmanship of God, to be that sculpture of God, or that song, or that poem, or that painting that God is skillfully crafting into a place that is habitable for the living Spirit. But I notice that when we are God's workmanship, that means we are going to be increasingly walking in good works. Now, there are all kinds of passages throughout the New Testament that talk to us about good works. But there's one that has always kind of shocked and surprised me that I'd like to share with you this morning. And we find that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul's giving some instructions to the women, the brothers, and also to the sisters. And while he separates them out in these instructions, I believe that the principles he teaches would apply to everyone. He talks about the men lifting holy hands without anger and quarreling. And then he turns to the sisters and he says regarding the sisters in 1 Timothy 2, 9, "Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works." Now, I know that many of you here have heard all kinds of sermons about dress and modesty and all of those kind of principles, and I've preached my fair share of those lessons. And one of the things that I find very interesting is that I know that when I preach that, a lot of times I spend way too much of my time trying to convince you that my lines are the correct lines. And what's interesting to me is that I can look backwards and forwards throughout Scripture, and not once, if I understand it properly, do I find a passage where Paul says, "Now here's the line. Here's when it's too short. Here's when it's too low. Here's when it's too tight." I wish he did sometimes. Sometimes I think that would make it easier, but I think God has a good reason for doing things the way He does. What I find really interesting is that in this passage, he points out what we really need to be wearing. He says what we need to be wearing is good works. And what I believe Paul demonstrates to us is when I understand the principles that God demonstrates regarding how we're supposed to be living our lives, when I understand the principles that God has taught throughout the New Testament about walking in good works, when I understand what it means to be God's workmanship, and I long to be God's workmanship, and I long for God to work in my life so that I can work in His vineyard and in His kingdom, then all those questions about too short or too low or too tight or too much or too little, I'm going to answer those questions correctly. The fact is, as I grow in my faith and in the grace of the Lord, and I continue to be the workmanship of God, and I walk in His good works, I am convinced that what will happen is I'll dress with good works. I want us to think about that this morning. What does Paul mean in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 when he talks about us being dressed with good works? What's that going to look like? What are we going to wear? Before we examine that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, You are awesome and powerful, and we lift You up because You are the great God who has created all things. Father, we are completely aware that Your way works. And yet at times Satan turns us away from that and convinces us and deceives us that other things might work. We pray that You would put Satan behind us, that You would remove his influences, that You would help us to increase our spiritual minds, that being spiritual people made in the likeness of Your Son Jesus, that we would think more spiritually. And that as we consider the works that you have prepared beforehand, that we will walk in them. And as we walk in them, that we will dress in them. And that folks, when they see us, will see you reflected through everything about us, whether it's the way we speak, as we talked about last Sunday night, whether it's the way we walk, the behavior that we have, and even the clothes that we wear, that we will profess your majesty and your glory. Be with us throughout the lesson this morning, that your majesty and glory is what this lesson is about. I pray that you will be lifted up and honored by all that we say or do, because, Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for loving us. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Dressed with good works. The first thing I hope that we can recognize is that there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it does talk about, as is fitting for women who are professing godliness. And again, I will repeat, while I know that Paul is specifically addressing the sisters here, I do believe the principles apply evenly, just like he doesn't want the sisters being all angry and filled with quarreling. When he said that to the men, he wasn't saying, oh, you sisters can have all kinds of anger and quarreling. He wasn't saying that at all. Just so here, even though he's addressing the sisters, he's not saying that men don't have to worry about whether or not they're dressed with good works. So I'd just like for us to consider these principles for all of us, no matter our gender. I want you to notice, though, that he does talk about professing godliness, that when he talks about being dressed with good works, this is what is fitting for people who profess godliness. In other words, this dress is not the kind of dress that everybody is going to be doing, but those who want to profess godliness. So I think the first thing we have to ask is, do I want to profess godliness? Do I claim to profess godliness? If that's something that's important to me, if that's something that's important to you, godliness and professing and confessing that godliness, then what we're going to talk about this morning should be important to us as well. The word translated professing, maybe, means to announce or promise. Bauer, Arndt, and Gingrich, I like what they said, it means to give oneself out as an expert. This is a confession. For those who announce, who profess, who proclaim to long to be godly, maybe even giving themselves off as experts, those who are saying, listen, I am a godly person. Godliness literally is God worship. It means piety, reverence, devotion. The fact is, most of us are here this morning because we are professing godliness. By our mere attendance here, we are proclaiming, I am a godly person. I long to be devoted to God. I long to be reverent to God. I am here this morning proclaiming my worship to God. And so 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 ought to matter to us, because right now we are professing godliness. Jesus tells us in John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24, the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. John said that God is looking for godly people. He is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're here this morning claiming that we are those people. We are professing that we are people who worship God in spirit and in truth. And the big question is, does our dress profess the same thing our Sunday mornings do? Does our dress profess the same thing that our Sunday mornings profess? Paul is pointing out in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, that what we wear, what we do, how we act, how we behave all the time needs to correspond with what we're doing right now. Because we're professing godliness here, right? Do we do that when we leave? Professing godliness. Now, Paul says that for people who care about professing godliness, for those who want to demonstrate to all who are around them that God is what matters, and I long to worship and be pious and be devoted and reverential to God, that's going to change the way I dress. It's going to produce good works. Let's talk about those good works for a moment. And then we'll wrap up taking a look at three principles that will happen in our lives if we're dressing with these good works. Now, what's amazing to me is that today in our fellowship, a lot of times when we get to passages that just mention the phrase good works, for some reason we start thinking about making sure that we're only taking the Lord's Supper on Sunday and that we take it every Sunday. A lot of times we think about, well, we don't have a fellowship hall, or we're not going to do some of these things that a lot of other churches do, or we don't have instruments that accompany our worship to God. For some reason, when we think in terms of good works, we have a tendency to think just in the idea of patterns about what the church does when it comes together. But when Paul talked about good works in Scripture, that was rarely what he was talking about. I have no idea that those things matter, and those things are good works. But I want you to look at a passage that Paul uses good works, and he actually describes what kind of things he's talking about. It's also in 1 Timothy. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9, Paul is talking to the church about widows. Widows that can be placed on the role of support as servants in the congregation. And in Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 9, he says, "Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works." Now what follows this is his explanation of what he means by a reputation for good works. Please pay careful attention to what he says, because here is what Paul is talking about when he's talking about people being good, having good works, dressed with good works. He says to the sisters, one of these days you might be a widow. And one of these days you might be relying on the congregation to enroll you, to support you. Here's the kind of person you need to be. Here's where how you need to have been dressed. He says, having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander." He gives a contrast. He talks about being a gossip, a slanderer, a busybody. Someone who is focused on good works, they remove those things. Rather, let's back up here again and notice some of these things he said. Brought up children. Shown hospitality. By the way, hospitality here is different than generosity. Hospitality is not just taking food to someone. Hospitality is receiving someone. Hospitality is not just going to a restaurant and generously paying for their meal. Hospitality is receiving someone, hosting someone. Has washed the feet of the saints. Now, I understand that this is a cultural reference, and I'm not suggesting to you that you need to make sure that you have literally washed someone's feet, but what it is talking about is being a servant. Have you served? Have you served sacrificially? That's the kind of good works that Paul is talking about, being a sacrificial servant. In the culture of the Bible days, when they walked around on dusty roads and sandaled feet, and their feet would swell and get dirty and nasty, and someone would come into someone's home, it was common to have the servants wash their feet. This is the kind of good work that Paul is talking about. Maybe we don't have to literally wash someone's feet, but do we do things that might be considered similar to that in our culture? Having cared for the afflicted. I think this is a powerful one. And it reminds me of what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25 when he described the difference between those who would enter into their rest and those who would be told to depart. Remember what Jesus said the difference was? The difference was that those who entered into the rest of God fed him when he was hungry, fed Jesus when he was hungry, gave him drink when he was thirsty, visited him when he was sick and in prison, clothed him when he was naked. And those who were cast away, they didn't feed him, they didn't give him drink, they didn't clothe him, they didn't visit him. And they're all going to ask, well, when? And Jesus says, when you didn't do it to the least of these my brethren, you didn't do it to me. Or when you did do it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. He's talking about caring for people in their affliction. And I also think about the passage in James. In James chapter 1 and verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, having cared for the afflicted. When Paul talks about good works, these are the kind of things that he is talking about. This is what we look like. This is what people see in us. When I think about these kind of good works, Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, "Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." Those are the good works he's wanting from us. You want a great example of this? Look in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36. "Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity." What was it that she was doing? Caring for widows in their affliction. How many of the widows came up and showed the tunics and the garments that Tabitha had made for them? There's a great example. When we think about these kind of good works, look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul says to Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model for good works." Well, what is he talking about there? And he says, Titus, you need to be a model for good works. What he's saying is, all this stuff I just told you to tell the people, you need to model it. It's not just teaching it, it's modeling it. Well, what kind of things has he said? Back up in verse 1. "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled." Titus, you be a model of these good works. What kind of good works? Sober-mindedness, dignified, reverence, submission, purity, working. So these are the good things, Titus. You're supposed to be a model of these good things. Those are the kind of good works that Paul's talking about. And then in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says this in Colossians 3 and verse 12, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." Did you notice that put on language? What else might we say? Dress. You got up this morning and put on your clothes, didn't you? He says, put on these things. Be dressed with these things. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let me ask you about the clothes that you're putting on. Does it sound like these things that we've talked about as good works? Because that's what Paul was saying. We need to be dressed with good works. The clothes that you wear, whether we're talking about how they fit on your body or the parts of your body that they accentuate, or whether we're talking about the messages that are actually written on them, how do they compare to the good works that Paul has been talking about? So when we consider the idea of professing godliness, and we consider the idea of the good works that Paul wants us to focus on and wants to be in our lives, as we are a people that God has set apart to be zealous for good works, what's that going to mean for us? Three very brief things. Look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." If the purpose of our good works is for folks to see our good works and give glory to God, and I'm supposed to be dressed with good works, then the purpose of my dress is to focus people on God. Dress to focus people on God. We got to ask ourselves, the way I'm dressing today, who am I trying to focus people on? Am I trying to focus them on me? Or am I trying to focus them on God? Am I trying to focus them on my body? Or am I trying to focus them on God's glory? Am I trying to focus them on my sexuality? On my wealth? On my sense of fashion and style? Am I trying to focus them on something about me? Or am I trying to focus them on God? Now, brothers and sisters, this does not mean that what we have to try to do is to be as completely ugly and unattractive as we can possibly be. Now, for some of us, that is really easy. I know. But that's not the point here. I mean, the reality is that styles come and go and fashions come and go. And Jesus is not saying that if you really want to be a godly person, you can only dress in retro styles that everybody's going to think is foolish. That's not His point. But there is a difference between dressing properly in a modest, even yet fashionable way, and dressing in a way that says, "Look at me for how amazing I am. Look at me and my sense of style. Look at me and my fashion. Look at me and my body. Look at me and my wealth." There's a big difference between "look at God because of the way I dress" and "look at me because of the way I dress." And I would point out, I also don't want to dress in a way that says, "Hey, look at me and my religiosity and my religion." Because there are folks that, as they deal with this in certain churches, that's the approach they take. Don't you notice something? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, Jesus actually kind of deals with this. "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So I know that there are religious bodies that say the way you need to dress is so that people can see how religious you are. And they have almost a uniform, and a certain hairstyle, and a certain kind of clothing that we can say, "Oh, they're Amish. Oh, they're Oneness Pentecostals." We're not supposed to be dressing like that either, showing people how religious we are. We're supposed to be dressing in a way that says, "Look at God. He's glorious." Second principle. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, Paul says this, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." See, we're still talking about good works. He says, here are people that are ready for every good work. Why? Because they have cleansed themselves of what is dishonorable. Then in verse 22, he goes on to explain how this happens. He says, So, Timothy, because this is true, because we want to be vessels that are cleansed of what is dishonorable, and we are honorable vessels ready for every good work, so flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. What do we need to do in our dress? Dress honorably, fleeing youthful passions and pursuing righteousness. This is how we're supposed to dress. What does our dress express? Does it express youthful passions? Or does it express the righteousness that comes from God? Is the way we dress, is it honorable? Does it honor God? Does it show that we're honorable people who are cleansing what is dishonorable out of our lives so that we can be ready for every good work? Or does our dress say that I'm still pursuing youthful passions? I'm still pursuing the youthful passion to be cool. I'm still pursuing the youthful passion to be lusted after. I'm still pursuing the youthful passion to lust. What does our dress say about us? And finally, I'd ask you for a third principle to look in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 12. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, Paul says this, "The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about casting off, putting on. He's talking about being dressed. What does he say we're not supposed to be dressed with? The works of darkness. Rather, we're supposed to be dressed with the armor of light. And so he goes on, verse 13, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy." Do you notice there the parallel between this and what we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10? Remember, he told the men, lift holy hands without anger and quarreling. And then he tells the sisters how to dress, not with sensuality, but with self-control and modesty and all of those things. You see how this corresponds with those two directions he gave? And then he says in verse 14, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." If we're going to be dressed with good works, there's some things that we're going to cast off. We're going to cast off the works of darkness. We're going to cast off the drunkenness and orgies. We're going to cast off the immorality and the sensuality. We're going to cast off the quarreling and the jealousy. But notice what else he says. Make no provisions for the lusts of the flesh to gratify its desires. Not only are we going to cast off those works, but we're going to cast off the things that lead to that, that make provision for that. But perhaps the coup de grace of this whole passage is this statement. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be dressed with good works, I'm going to put on Jesus Christ. And so the question is, when people see me and the way I dress, who do they see? Do they see someone that it won't shock them a bit when they find out that you came here on Sunday morning? I told Elaine, man, sometimes they're just good ideas that are bad ideas. Because what I really wanted to do right now was troll the internet and find some pictures of some different ways people dress and just pop it up there and say, do you think these folks are in church today? Do you think these are folks that serve the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times do we watch Grammy Awards and Emmy Awards and all those people and they're dressed in the things they're dressed in and we know the things they said in their movies and in their songs and then what's the first thing out of their mouths? I just want to thank God. And does that sound a bit like someone who is dressed in Jesus? And we hear that and we think, that's crazy. You're not doing anything for God in the stuff that you're doing. What do people see when they see the way we're dressed? Do they see folks that they would not be a bit surprised when they find out that we're Christians? Put on Jesus Christ. Dressed with good works. This is what it means. And sometimes, in my own life, I know that I have been a whole lot like the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, he says about the Laodiceans, "For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. There have been far too many times in my life where I've thought, I'm there, I've got it. But really, I was unclothed spiritually. I need to turn to God and ask Him to clothe me. And I need to pursue the good works. And when I get that right, when what I am focused on is walking in the good works that God has created beforehand, my shorts will be as long as they need to be. My top will be as high as it needs to be, my neckline. My clothes will be as loose or tight as they need to be. The messages that are proclaimed on them will be what they need to be. Because I will be set apart, putting on Jesus. Is the world going to laugh at me? Well, of course they're going to laugh at me. But God won't be laughing. How are you dressing? With good works? If you're going to be using the songbook this morning, would you pull that out now, please? Where could I go? Number 56 in the supplemental book, if you're going to be using that this morning. Where could I go but to the Lord? Most of you know what this part of the service is about. We're asking that question, where can you go? If you're realizing that the only place that you can go is the Lord, but you haven't done that yet, we want to invite you this morning to enter the Lord. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Raised to walk in newness of life. If we can help you with that, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?